Welcome to Quillsword Blogcast, Political Noise, Navigating a Clickbait World. Political noise is nothing new. As soon as the first caveman figured out that talking about nothing worked almost as well as actually doing something, political hot air was born. All that has changed is the access to the vast volumes of doublespeak, not its nature. Internet, phone, cable, streaming, TV, newspapers, yes, they still do exist, online news, blogs, social media posts, and any new way some genius comes up with to separate you from your peace and quiet. They all come screaming with every idiotic pronouncement from every idiot who has a comment, and present company is not accepted. Above all, your government officials pontificate with any talking head or podcaster that will have them, usually without saying much. Now, if I were a good little political scientist, I'd tell you you need these loud mouths in order to be well-rounded with the information space. Fortunately, I don't have a political scientist card, so I can tell you the truth. Quality is what matters, not quantity. But both sides. If one side can't make its case in under an hour, okay, watch the whole hour if you think it's worth the time. If the other side can make an excellent case in 10 minutes, why insist that they drag it out, or worse, that you find 50 more minutes of this that are complete dribble? The object isn't equal time. The object is informed understanding. You cannot and will not learn everything there is to know about a given issue, not even if you're a paid expert on the subject matter. Now, if we're paying you, I expect you to know a lot more than the average Joe, but you'll still never know it all. Quick, without looking, who was the first man to hold the office of President of the United States? I guarantee you got that one wrong. Say what? You. Just like every grad student I ever pulled this on. Forgot the Articles of Confederation, didn't you? The Office of President existed under the Articles, but was very different from when Washington became president. In point of fact, 11 men were president before George Washington, but their powers were much more limited because the office was so different, also different government. Oh, and the answer is John Hancock of Maryland. Oh, sure, it's a bit of a trick question, but it highlights the point. Humans don't come in size omniscient. No matter how expert you are, you can't know it all. Now, here's the good news. You don't need to. You need to know enough to follow the bouncing ball and to know where to find more information, if you need it, and to recognize that you need more information. That's it. You don't need to be a supercomputer or wear a pocket protector, or even be old enough to get that last joke. You just need a solid foundation knowledge and to be decently informed. That's plenty to be able to navigate the noise and to know when you don't know enough. Where to start? Start with you don't know enough for a given issue. Then go get the information you need. History, culture, nature of conflict or conflicts, current conflict, current issue, you just need those basics, not the whole enchilada. A good overview is sufficient to be well-informed enough to evaluate an issue. But that's work. Welcome to adulthood. Want more work? Try being ignorant and letting your government keep doing stupid stuff. Fixing that is always a nightmare. Think of it like doing the dishes. One plate and fork is a lot easier than 2 weeks of stuff piled all over the counter. Just wash the dang plate and go to bed. What about that good foundation I mentioned? Frankly, most of you listening to political commentary probably already have it. It's just political literacy to understand what you're being told. Here, I mean really basic stuff. If the words legislature and parliament are foreign, you aren't ready yet. I couldn't care less if you don't know the exact definition of nation-state. Those that do probably realize that I use it pretty loosely. But if you're foggy on what exactly a country is, or in the difference between federal and state, you need to get your foundation laid. Now, for those smarty pants out there, it's not just the international stuff. You probably don't understand half as many American issues as well as you think you do. That would largely be a function of our crappy education system and our crappier legacy media. The rest is because there are no one-card decks.
What?
You weren't taught to think about issues, or to think for that matter. That's poor education, and you are completely able to teach yourself, so don't give up. The media is more interested in narrative than facts. Journalists were never as professional as they wanted to believe, but now they aren't even journalists anymore. On the bright side, that makes ignoring legacy media perfectly safe. Think of political groups, be they activists or governments, as having a deck of cards. Each card is a reason for whatever issue or action. Every political body decides for itself how to shuffle those cards. Will they put the ace on the top or the joker? Totally up to them. But the cards will be ordered by the importance with the card that's most important on top. When we talk about the reason Group X did thing Y, we almost always talk about that top card. But there are no one-card decks. The most important card isn't the only card. Translation, there's never only one reason for a political action, no matter what it is. Let's look at the current hilarity going on in the House of Representatives. If you listen to the left-leaning media, it's catastrophic, caused by the far-right Republicans trying to take over the country. If you listen to the right-leaning media, it's the fault of those rebels who want to rebrand conservatism at the expense of the Republican Party. Ask the guys involved, and they want to consider budgetary bills individually instead of in one huge omnibus, and McCarthy undermined that when he went back on his promise. Truth is, all three have an element of truth to them. They are all cards in the deck. The last is probably the most on point, but the other two aren't completely wrong. But they are deliberately worded to make them seem worse than they really are. The House can function perfectly well without a speaker. It's done so many times before. The Republicans are trying to take power, but by winning it electorally, which is perfectly fair. There are a group of Republicans that want to take the party down a more conservative path. Always has been. It's just that the electorate is becoming more conservative, which means that they might finally succeed, and the old-school Republicans don't want that. Both Democrats and Republicans prefer omnibus bills because they are easier to sneak pork into and get them passed with little scrutiny. Upsetting that apple cart will open a whole new level of political gamesmanship that the old school of both parties wants to avoid. So how much of that is noise? Pretty much all of it. I'm a conservative, and I side with the so-called rebels. But this is a minor incident in a longer war. Speaker is important, but being without one for a week or two hurts nothing. Unless you are just fascinated by the internal workings of Congress, this doesn't matter right now. How do I know? Vacations and illnesses are things. If the president can take a week off, so can the speaker. In other words, common sense. Sure, knowing about the American political system makes it easier, but you don't need to know what the speaker does to have enough sense to realize that no one works 24/7 anyway. How critical can this be? Just like at work, losing someone for a week isn't a big deal, but losing someone for a month may be. The media makes everything sound so urgent because they get paid by the view or the click. They need your eyeballs desperately. That's why clickbait ends up sounding so desperate. Because it is. Slow news weeks are very bad for business. Combine that with talking heads that wouldn't know the real news story anyway, and you end up with whatever they can make sound interesting. Conflict is interesting. If it weren't for that war in Israel, you'd hear about nothing but the speakership fight. Only one of those two is important. Here's the best rule of thumb to my mind for a story or issue. And whether or not it is important is in proportion to the number of people it actually affects. Wars affect thousands and change lives. Congressional infighting just is a spectator fight. Remember, politics is about groups of people making decisions. If it doesn't affect people, it's not politically important. Of course, there's more to it. It's usually safe to ignore politicians playing to their base beyond understanding the general gist. The really important stuff is usually the really boring stuff. You know, budgets and regulations domestically, which country is allied to which internationally. Snoozerville, even if you like politics. But that's actually where the action usually is. Now, it doesn't mean that the news is never useful. It's just rarely important. Seriously, how many of you knew, let alone cared, that there wasn't a current Speaker of the House? I mean, it's pretty funny as political theater goes, but it will have to drag out a lot longer to become really important. In the meantime, the interim speaker hasn't let the House blow up or anything. Yet. Congress makes its own rules, something of a flaw in the Constitution, I grant, so they can pretty much work around any hole they manage to dig for themselves. No one will die or even get badly hurt while the Republicans fight this out. Everyone will get paid, although the next budget fight will be epic and epically funny. And the country will survive. Then they will select a speaker and find something else to fight about. Is this useful to know? If you're interested in a specific piece of legislation, like, say, Biden's upcoming aid package for Israel and Ukraine, yes, this is good to know and can be useful. If you aren't concerned about anything specific being passed soon, then no, it's not. The speakership is important to the House, but no one is more than inconvenienced by having an interim speaker for a few weeks. Not that CNN shares that opinion. Okay, it is funny when the other side of the aisle muffs something, so let the lefties at CNN have their fun. But catastrophic and earth-shaking? Come on! It's fun political theater, as the two main factions of the Republicans fight it out with each other, but it's only important to the Republicans. Okay, sure, it could be important to their future, but this isn't likely to be the defining moment of the Republican Party, and they're on their way out if it is. So how do you know what is and isn't important? Short answer, the main focus of the news cycle, that might be a clue. Okay, being serious. Ask yourself a question. Does this affect anyone's life? At a minimum, it's important to that person. Next question, does this affect a lot of people's lives? If both answers are yes, it's important. There are different levels of important. Obviously, if it affects your life, you're going to find it a lot more important than it only affects a few other people far away. Importance isn't urgency. A tornado in your neighborhood is both important and urgent, but in another state, it's only important. Sounds kind of like common sense, huh? That's because it is. Figuring it out is easy. Knowing the answers that to that part can be kind of tricky. The speakership fight is fun, but not significant in the long run. But major changes to welfare or Social Security can impact millions and ruin lives, or improve lives, but damage the economy. What about the changes to the election system? Which ones matter and which ones don't? Those questions, where you don't know the ins and outs of how the thing works, those are the questions you need to find out more about. That is so easy today that there's no excuse for trusting only the talking heads on legacy media. Find a few videos, podcasts, or websites, whatever works for you, and get the information you need from both sides. But if the thing doesn't affect any actual people, then it's actually not important. Feel free to skip the clickbait.